The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Builder, helping you to build stronger and better lives, and the founder of the International Mastermind Association. And today, we are very excited to be hosting this show with our co-host, but also our very special guest. And if you think about Evan Piper, born in Newark, New Jersey, has a phenomenal history, as he will be sharing later on in our show, about the subject today, sex transmutation. But before we get started, I'd like to introduce to all of you our co-host, as we each share our aha moment from this awesome chapter in the book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, as we discuss the sex transmutation mystery as a principle for your success. Actually, when you think about the subject, and I'll just share the words from Napoleon Hill himself, he says that the meaning of the word transmute is, in simple language, the changing or transferring of one element or form of energy into another. And so with that brief introduction of what we're embarking upon on this subject, and as we all know, whatever experiences you may have with this subject, Napoleon Hill has a way of taking it to an entirely different level. So first I'd like to introduce my co-host, Begin, then Galen, then Peter, as they each share their aha moment from this awesome chapter. So good morning, Begin.
Good morning. I'm so excited to be talking about this topic and to be talking to Evan and you and my co-host, Galen and Peter. It's just like an exciting time. I have to tell you, this was a challenging topic for me. I've been reading this book for over 30 years, and I'm so grateful that as I've evolved and changed, I understand it deeper. And I was just thinking about what part of this book, this part of this chapter, is so important as we begin the discussion. And I want to read this. This is on page 190, when it says, when harnessed and redirected constructively, this motivating force maintains all of its attributes of keenness, of imagination, courage, and so forth, which may be used as a powerful creative forces in literature, art, or any other profession, calling, or undertaking, including, of course, the accumulation of riches. For me to recognize and appreciate the power of the sex drive that fuels you with such energy and enthusiasm, and as I was sharing earlier to my co-hosts, the concept of anticipation, the concept of anticipation to receive, the concept of the anticipation and the imagination that comes from this is so powerful, because if we aren't anticipating the riches and if we aren't anticipating our glorious future, we can't direct this energy in such a way that we receive what we really want. So I'm excited about this topic. I'm thrilled that I'm mature enough to understand the topic. I'm excited to be with my co-host to be able to share that. By the way, I am Pegeen, and I run Power Women Global. I work with women in leadership and business who want to be brave, be bold, be seen, and be heard while being paid really well in the process. So that's me, and let's just use our sex power to achieve what we want to have.
Thank you, Pegeen, because you said one of the words you use, I just have to interject, is mature. And so as we dig deeper into this principle, maturity and the age of all of us, where we reach that, you know, it differs, but key word. So next we're going to introduce our other co-host, which is Mr. Galen Bingham. Morning, Galen.
Good morning to you, Ms. Ann. Good morning, Pegeen and Peter and Mr. Piper. I am really excited about this show and this topic in particular. I am Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist. I help consumer packaged goods leaders uncover strategies that allow them to partner better with their most important customers. And, you know, this is a chapter that, and we've said the word maturity a couple of times, that if you don't go deep with this, it's easy to miss the significance of this chapter. If you only think about this from the surface level, it's easy to miss the real gift that Napoleon Hill has given us. Because one of the things that I picked up on was starting on page 191, but more specifically on page 192, where he lists the 10 mind stimuli, and then he goes on to say that, you know, at the top of the list, probably the most powerful is the desire for sexual expression. And, you know, that really kind of even cuts across most, if not all, animals, but it's really significant within humans. But the part that I honed in on was towards the bottom of the page, where it says, and he's made this correlation between trying to operate at genius level. And then he says, a better definition of genius is an individual who has discovered how to increase mental intensity and concentration to the point where he or she can freely communicate with sources of knowledge not available through ordinary levels of thought. And so the thing that I really honed in on that section is the ability to choose when to tap into what you need to tap into to get the knowledge that you need at the moment that you need it, as opposed to being at effect or being at the whim of all the stimuli that's going on around you and not being in control. One of the things that I like to do every morning is I get up probably earlier than I should be getting up, but I get up pretty early. And I go through my morning ritual, but part of my morning ritual is I take a walk. And while I'm walking, I will listen to motivational videos, or I'll listen to, do my affirmations, whatever the case is. But it's really important for me to listen to something that gets my mind right, that allows me to focus on the day that I have ahead of me and the reality that I'm intending to create. And one guy that I've come across, and I'm going to mispronounce his name, is Sadhguru, and he is an Indian author, and he just really talks about a variety of things. And one of the things that I picked up on my last morning ritual is he was talking about how everything that has been created can be used for good, and it also can be misused. And this is the key, according to him, is do you have the ability to control it? Because if you have the ability to control it, then you can use it for good whenever you want. But if it controls you, then that's called an addiction, because you can't control it. You're just responding to stimuli. And I think that really did connect and correlate with this chapter, that there are so many things that Pagin even highlighted just a second ago. There's such power in our sexual drive, our need for sexual expression, that if we can control that and use it to help us create riches, wealth, the kind of world that we're looking for, that is the real key. That's the key to access genius-level performance. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you. I'm really, really excited about the group and the discussion, and I'm going to turn into a student at this point.
Wow. Genius-level performance. I think that that's something that we all aspire to, especially when we study this book, and in particular, this particular principle, and as you just mentioned, learn how to control it and not allow it to control us. So next we'll go to Peter. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Anne. Good to be here. Great to be here with my peers, my colleagues, a distinguished guest. I'm very excited about this topic. Galen and Pagin have dove into it already and extracted some unique aspects of sex transmutation. Wow, who would have thought? But what I love about what Napoleon Hill has done here in this chapter of Think and Grow Rich there, Anne, is not only is he talking, translating sex over into the 10 mind stimuli and even talking about the sixth sense, but what has jumped off the pages to me with this chapter is something that Galen just mentioned a little while ago, and that is self-control. Self-control. And so on page 189 of the book, he says, people who are driven by this desire in a positive, constructive sense can, quote unquote, channel it to develop keenness of imagination, courage, willpower, persistence, and creative ability that are all but unknown at other times. And so let's just face it, you know, growing up when you're young, this sexual drive is burning. And even as we get older, it continues to burn. But now how do we shift this sexual drive, shift this sexual transmutation into the focus and accomplishment of our goals, our passions, our desires that we want to accomplish as citizens of this global society, you know? And we all have our goals, and we all have our dreams, and we all have things that we are aspiring to. But now if we can shift this desire to what we're trying to do, it's going to be so effective and so channeled, as you mentioned, and self-control is a big, big part of this. So I am so excited about this chapter. My name is Peter James, and I'm the high-performance coach, and I'm really big into shifting your mindset, and this chapter just screams that up and down. So thank you, Anne.
Wow, screaming. I'm screaming when I think about some personal, and we talked about this earlier in our prep show. No, I will not go into my personal life on this radio for all to play it back to me later in my life and to my grandchildren. So I'll leave that at that, but I will say that my aha moment from the book, and Peter kind of touched on it a moment ago, is on page 190, where Napoleon Hill says, sexual desire is the most powerful of human desires. Its exercise in proper relation and proportion to all other aspects of life is positive and healthy. People who are driven by this desire in a positive, constructive sense can channel, goes to Peter's point, we can channel it to develop keenness of imagination, courage, willpower, persistence, and creative ability that are all but unknown at any other times. So strong and impelling is the desire for sexual contact that some people freely run the risk of life and reputation to indulge in it. When harnessed and redirected constructively, this motivating force maintains all of its attributes of keenness of imagination, courage, and so forth, which may be used as powerful creative forces in literature, art, or any other profession, calling, or undertaking, including, of course, the accumulation of riches. And what made this jump out at me in terms of channeling that energy, because what we're talking about is the transmutation of one energy form into another. I'm reading another book entitled Daily Rituals, and it shows about 200 to 300 different artists of different kinds, and it talked about how they entered their day, what they did as they prepared to do their art, and how many of them, even though they started out using sex, using narcotics, using many kinds of drugs just to get them started. What Napoleon Hill shares with us in this book is that nature has already given us an opportunity to channel that energy into something that is healthier. But if we choose to use other things to prop us up, then the demise of that over time can hurt us. So my aha again in this is just very powerful. And the other thing that he did in this portion of the book, in this chapter, is just in that one paragraph, he tied together many of the other principles that we've already studied as a part of this call, this show. So I'm going to go ahead and prepare for us to go to a commercial. And then when we come back from the commercial, my co-host, Begin, is going to have the honor of introducing our guest. And first, we're going to hear about the 13 steps and then a brief commercial about our organization. And hang in here. We will be right back as we continue to talk about the mystery of sex transmutation.
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill said that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what we call autosuggestion. Autosuggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds, will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because those positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people. Step number five is imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to take a look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number seven is decision. What Napoleon Hill said is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill said that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step eight is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books I love, even the title, 3 Feet from Gold. Those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anyone else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number 8. Step number 9, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody has someone who helped them get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us. Use the thoughts. Use the knowledge. Use the exploration of other people to help us in achieving our goal. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical, but what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spend quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of step 10, which is sex transmutation. Step number 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting leap between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of autosuggestion and what we're feeding into our mind. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. Final step number 13, the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom. This is the final step through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. The principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Hi, everybody. This is Pegeen, and I have the extreme pleasure of introducing our guest today, Evan Piper. I am so excited. He graduated from Florida International University with a degree in business and administration. Evan's professional certifications include licensed general contractor, master automotive technician, licensed commercial pilot, flight instructor, and aircraft mechanic. His conglomerate, yes, conglomerate, is the Piper Companies, and they're comprised of several entities in the fields of construction, automotive marine, real estate, medical, and speaking and training. In addition, Evan volunteers as a leader board member in local politics, as well as in several South Florida charities and business groups. Evan is a survivor of a 2001 airplane crash and is currently in a wheelchair. His journey taught him many life lessons, including excelling in the face of insurmountable challenges. Evan learned many motivational tools, which he incorporates with his extraordinary entrepreneurial skills and remarkable determination. He is using sexual transmutation. Consequently, he continues to share his gift with others through his motivational business speaking engagements. Evan is a professional member of the National Speakers Association and creator of the Piper Business Performance System. He developed a series of speaking presentations, training programs, mastermind groups, seminars, and other related events. He uses this powerful series to share his message, knowledge, and experience with others. When not working or volunteering, this man still keeps on going on. He can be found partaking in one of his many hobbies. Get this, wheelchair tennis, flying, boating, wave running, and water skiing, as well as showing that nothing, including a disability, can hold him back from accomplishing his goals and passions. Let us all cheer and welcome Mr. Evan Piper.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
I got to tell you, Evan, it's pretty exciting. I posted some social media about you being on the show, and people responded saying, oh, my gosh, I love Evan. His talks are inspirational. They're so amazing. So, yay to have you on the show and all those listening. We are in for a really special treat. I wanted to ask you.
No, thank you. Thank you.
So, Evan, you are a master at Think and Grow Rich, and you didn't just show up one day and say, I got it all. Can you tell us about a little bit about your background? How did you get here? How did you get to where you are? And I know that you were invited here, but I want to hear a little bit about your story, both the failures and the successes. Can you share that with our guests?
I'd love to. I'd love to. I'll try to give you a quick version of a long story, albeit interesting, at least in my opinion. I was one of those kids that just loved cool things and loved mechanical things and kind of just through my father, who was a successful guy who acquired nice things, I kind of had that same desire. And when I wanted to acquire those things on my own, my father didn't just throw money in my hand. He showed me that when you needed to get something, you needed to work for it. And that kind of led me early on into my first business at 11 years old, which was washing windows. And with the money that I was making from washing windows, I was kind of fueling my passion. And the word passion keeps coming up. But my passion is fixing things, fixing cars, fixing boats, fixing planes. And the window washing money was able to give me the opportunity to buy my own tools and my own skill set and manuals to learn how to do all that stuff. And between classes and self-teaching, I became a really excellent mechanic by the time I was 14 and actually had my own automotive repair business right in my parents' driveway when I was 14 years old, before I had a driver's license. I was an expert mechanic. And that led into working on boats and then yachts. And when I saw the similarities between yachts and building construction with the trades of, you know, mechanical and electrical and plumbing and things like that, I saw that doing building construction was realistic. I became a contractor and started my own construction company. And actually have built that company into a nationwide business today, which I still do. As a matter of fact, I still have my automotive and marine business to this day, as well as my construction company. So I was kind of going through life. I went to college while I was working, got out of college, did the normal life thing of getting married, having kids, two wonderful boys. Side note, my oldest son is about ready to give me him and his wife about ready to give me a grandson any day now. Well, actually in the next few weeks. So
that's
really
great.
Excited about that. I know you're going to say I look way too young for that. And you're right. And I feel way too young for that, but that's coming down the pike, but not to digress. As I was going along this life journey, I end up I kind of get into this other passion in my life, which is flying airplanes. Kind of fueled by a bunch of things, including my really cool Uncle Arnie, who kind of flew airplanes and told me stories about taking all these beautiful women to exotic destinations and kind of had me pretty sold on flying. But I love flying. I became very accomplished at flying and spent a lot of my time flying for my own personal pleasure, as well as becoming a flight instructor and instructing others. And that kind of led to a day in 2001 where I was flying an airplane and had an engine failure. And I got the airplane back to the airport, but not to the runway. I had to land on the grass short of the runway. And in doing so, the airplane, like the nose wheel hit a pothole, flipped over the airplane, and as a result, I ended up with a spinal cord injury, which where I lost the use of at least the lower part of my legs. So that put me in a wheelchair, and now I had a new dynamic in life to deal with, which was doing everything I'm doing, and then this new challenge of doing it from a wheelchair. So I kind of figured all that out, and not only that, I also took the opportunity, which is another big word in my life. So passion's a big word, opportunity's another big word, where I saw opportunities in medical related businesses, now that I've kind of got into this medical world, and then actually started a few additional businesses in the medical field. But the real gem that came out of that was in promoting my medical business, I was asked to do presentations and speak. And when I was speaking, people were really interested in my story, in my adversity story of how I came back from this tragic accident and started doing all these things where I was back flying my own plane, driving my own boat, riding a modified bicycle, playing wheelchair tennis. And they were really intrigued by that story. And I kind of became a motivational speaker at first to the disability community. And then ultimately, when I realized that this was all about mindset, that same message was more powerful to an even larger community than just the disability community. So that kind of like launched my speaking business. And that's also kind of what started fueling my deeper journey into understanding more about being successful, but how did that happen? Because then what happened was my business story started becoming something that was another remarkable story that all these things I never really paid attention to. But then as I was learning more about the success principles and things that make people successful, that is where I kind of had this like aha moment, if you will, of when things kind of changed.
So I want to ask you about that and how, you know, we're talking about the sexual transmutation. You were using the words passion and opportunity, and you even said, you know, fixing things with passion. How did you find Think and Grow Rich, and how? I'm super impressed, and I want to share with all the listeners how Evan looks at sexual transmutation. Just talk to me a little bit about that, and I'm going to go to a commercial, then I'm going to come back, so I want to continue this conversation. But give me a snippet. Entice me, Evan, entice me about how this chapter helped you move into this passion, opportunity, and your amazing successes in business.
Right. So a lot of this for me has been like I've kind of like where a lot of people and what I encourage a lot of people to do is kind of look at this first and build from. So look at these steps to riches and then build from that. In my case, I was lucky that I intuitively kind of learned and kind of practiced a lot of these things. So I've kind of done it backwards. And the passion that I had really is in some way channeled sexual energy. So, you know, passion, using passion to achieve the goals that I've achieved and to accomplish all these things in my life is really in some other way channeling a passion where you could have passion when you're in your typical physical sexual situation, excuse me, or you can have passion when you're trying to accomplish things in your life that are important, but it's still the same sexual energy that just gets channeled to make all that happen. How's that for an enticement?
I love it, because anybody that has ever met Evan exudes this sexual energy, and it's very magnetic and very just really important. Let me go to commercial, Peter. I mean, Peter is hearing me talking about commercial, but let's go to a commercial because now you have us enticed, and I know my co-hosts are eager to talk to you.
I'm looking to come back.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Hi, everybody. It's back to this is Pagine, and I wanted to just welcome you, Evan, again, talking about the sexual energy, and I just wanted to reach out. I was reaching out to Anne to see if she wanted to ask a question, but let me just jump into something that you suggested for us was how would you define sex in its general form?
So the way that we all look at sex and the way that sex really is in its general form is what we also, you know, we all look at. When you say the word sex, we all kind of giggle, smile, and we look at it as the physical component. And that's really the general form of sex. Does that make sense?
Hey, Evan. So I wanted to just tell me about the purposes, the potential of sex, and those three purposes of potential sex.
Potential of sex.
I love that way you say it, the potentials of sex.
So when you look at the purposes of sex or the potentials of sex, it really kind of comes into three main things. One would be the perpetuation of mankind, procreation as we know it. And the next one would be, as it's well known, that sex is a health benefit, is a therapeutic benefit. So sex in itself, from the physical end, has definite health benefits. But I think the next thing we're going to look at with that is the transformation of mediocrity into genius through the transmutation of sex or sexual energy.
Whoa, can you just repeat what you just said?
I can. It's the transformation of mediocrity into genius through transmutation of sexual energy.
Wow. Well, I got to bring my Peter on. Peter is a success coach. He talks about this, and right now I'm just giddy with joy, and I want to focus on that. So, Peter, can you take us away, man? Share with us the questions, and let's get Evan to do some more of his deep dive. I'm having trouble hearing Peter over here, so let me just. Anne McNeil,
I'm here.
You.
I'm sorry. I'm here, Dean. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can now. Yeah, sure.
Awesome.
So we're talking about sex transmutation, sexual energy. Let's go.
Absolutely. So I was thinking while Evan was talking, it's not every day that I get to get on a radio show and just start talking about sex. So, Evan, thank you so much for being our distinguished guest. But I have to admit, I love exactly what you just said there. And I even wrote it down. I got to repeat it. The transformation of mediocrity into genius through the transmutation of sex. And that is so powerful because I think, again, as I mentioned, if we can channel it, if we can channel with the sexual energy that is inside all of us into our goals, our passions, and our dreams, I think our possibilities are endless. But I'm sure there's some challenges that are associated with this, Evan. So now that we understand a little bit about this whole sexual transmutation, what are the challenges that might be associated with this from your perspective?
Well, so, you know, with anything else powerful, there's a responsibility. But really, the main thing is to be able to harness and redirect the motivating forces of sex desire to maintain its attributes, to increase imagination and courage. And by making that and channeling that into this powerful force that allows the accumulation of riches. So it really is understanding, harboring, and making sure that this energy is properly channeled.
That's interesting. But so how are you able to do what you just described there and overcome this challenge? You know, it sounds good and to use that imagination and that courage that you just described, but how do you take that imagination and courage and almost transition it into action to a certain extent? How do you overcome that challenge?
Well, at the end of the day, what it really comes down to is willpower. It's the willpower to be able to actually capture, harness, and redirect. So it's being able to have the willpower so that you can redirect what a lot of us would more innately want to use as physical type of sexual expression, and then channel it into this expression to enrich the body, mind, and spirit. So okay. It does take a lot of willpower, and as we see in society today, slip-ups are very easy to happen.
Yeah, we see it at the highest levels, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Evan. Appreciate that.
Hey, Evan, I'm so glad that you were just talking about that. The words that were popping out to me as you were talking was charisma, confidence, energy, passion. And I'm bringing my buddy over here, Galen, who oozes confidence and energy and passion. And so I think that you both are going to have help us understand some of the other parts of sex transmutation. So, Galen, can you jump in? Because we were having this discussion earlier, and I want you to put the pedal to the metal.
Well, yeah. Well, Evan, so, you know, I just really appreciate the conversation. And I liked when you referenced managing some of the challenges by using willpower and how that's really, really important. What are some of the benefits? What are some of the outcomes that you're looking for or that you can realize if we can summon the willpower to control that?
Right. Well, so essentially what the actual main outcome that we're looking for is, you know, what we call this genius level. It's what Napoleon Hill refers to as the level of genius. And it's not really so much a high IQ per se. The level of genius is being able to channel this energy into where it's a positive, where it's creating positive outcomes in your life. It's creating the passion. It's fueling the passion to do the things that you want to do the things you want to accomplish. So again, you want to get to that status of genius. And again, being careful that you understand that genius does not necessarily mean only IQ, and understand the way of transmuting the sexual energy to get to that point.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification, because typically when I think of genius, and I think in the general, when people think of genius, they think of people like Einstein, they think of people like my personal favorite musician, which is Miles Davis, people that have a certain level of high IQ or aptitude. How do you define genius in the context of sex transmutation?
Well, again, kind of what I was saying just before was that it's really the individual that's able to properly channel, properly transmute the sexual energy and use it in that proper way to fuel their passion, and not use it so much in the physical sense that has got to that level of genius. It's not so much the IQ, it's more so the ability to use that energy properly.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. I'll turn this back over to Pagin.
I got to tell you, you guys, and I'm using you guys, there's a lot of people listening here going, seriously, you're making me give up this so I could do that? And I think that we're not saying, you know, hey, you don't have to give up that a cuddle that you're having. We're just saying, and Napoleon Hill is sharing that you need to know that you have it all the time, so you don't need to, you need to master it, and that's what you're saying. We're going to go to commercial right now, and after we go to commercial, Anne is going to come back. She has some questions for you, Evan.
Okay.
And so you just hold on. Let's go to commercial. Peter, take us away to our commercial.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
So I'm back, and I'm going to be bringing in Anne, and then we have somebody that has a question. So I'm going to bring in Anne because she has, as our matriarch, she has a question for you, Evan, about sexual transmutation.
All right.
So, Anne, I know you're coming on to me.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so very much. Yeah, so, Evan, how do you describe how, you know, as an example, how to actually transfer, if you will, or transmute, if you will, this energy into success? I mean, what does that really look like from your perspective? And if you can give us an example of maybe even a personal story, because I think we all have them. We talked earlier about having failures and then being able to turn those failures into success. So you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I do. Actually, you know, one thing that I find interesting is that to begin with, you have to, not everybody has high sexual energy. So it's at some level, there's a certain, let's just say a blessing, if you will, of being able to naturally have a high sexual energy. Those who don't have high sexual energy can actually create that in some interesting ways. As a matter of fact, Napoleon Hill talks about a situation where there was a man who would had a secretary who didn't have an actual relationship with, but when she was there, it actually increased his sexual energy. Not that he was like hitting on her or anything, but her presence increased his sexual energy, and he was able to transmute that energy into positive outcomes. So, you know, that's one part of it, is having the natural energy to work with. You have to have something to work with before you can do anything with it. And what I also find interesting is that a lot of us look at, let's just say, the nerds of the world, the people, the nerdy people, the people that you would look at and say, wow, that's like a bookworm. That person is the valedictorian in the high school, and he's such a nerd that, you know, he has no girlfriends and no women around him, and therefore he has low sexual energy. And in reality, it's the opposite. You see, what that person is doing, they're taking their high sexual energy and actually channeling it at a very, very, very high level, maybe too much, and using that to be as successful as they are and become these Vagatorians and these scholars. So I find it interesting how it's counterintuitive that some of the people, because of the lack of physical sexual expression, make society believe that they are less sexually charged, when in reality they're probably some of the highest sexually charged individuals.
Now, that really leads me. That leads me into. Thank you for getting. That leads me into the next question. Actually, I'm reading a book called Self Help, and it's actually talking about that exact subject, where it's giving examples of individuals who were described exactly what you're saying early in life, but they slow walked genius down. And when the surveys were done, they went back and analyzed the people who were the jocks in school and all of that, and where they are now 20, 30, 40 years later, and then they compared them to those who were nerdy, if you will, who now are extremely successful. And I want to go to your next question, which is, can you give us some examples of some geniuses in history who may have leveraged this sex transmutation? And then back to you.
I can, and it goes, you know, it goes way back. I'll tell you some people that come to mind for me. Even going back as far as George Washington, Elbert Hubbard, Elbert Gary, Oscar Wilde, Woodrow Wilson, John Patterson, Andrew Jackson, Enrico Caruso, Napoleon Bonaparte, William Shakespeare even, Abraham Lincoln, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Robert Burns, Thomas Jefferson, you know, just to name a few. And, you know, Napoleon Hill states, there's never been and never will be a great leader, builder, or artist lacking in the driving force of sex. That kind of wraps that up at some level, if you think about it.
And I'm going to add, you know, Oprah and Mother Teresa and Mary Kay all use that same piece. But I have to hold on, everybody, because I have Gerald, and Gerald has a question for us, and I want to be able to honor his question. So good morning, Gerald. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you share. Ask your question, where Evan and all of us are just excited to hear where you are.
Okay, thank you. Evan, I was interested in, can you help people to, or help us really understand how to recognize when we are operating in that genius and not from a place of ego? Because I think sometimes they become confused for us, and we have to know which, I think it's important that we would want to know which one we're listening to, because sometimes we have ideas and we're like, oh, that's great. And it's not our genius, it's our ego. So can you help us understand how to recognize when we are operating in that space? Thank you for taking my question.
No problem. My pleasure. So, you know, it's like everything else in this space. It's not exactly a cut and dry thing where there's like a meter that says I'm doing it or I'm not doing it. These things are all like gradual transformations. And even when you're doing it well, you're still not necessarily doing it well. So I know that sounds a little bit not black and white, because the subject really isn't black and white. It's more a matter of having an understanding and recognize that this power is there, and kind of being conscious of what you're doing. So it might be the opportunity to take a step back and say, well, if I am that man or woman that is always thinking about the physical expression of sex, and I might not be where I want to be in my place in life, in my level of success, then that should be the wake-up call by having this awareness now of saying, ah, I need to really get deep into my thought, deep into my concentration, and deep into my willpower, and the time and energy that I'm spending in over imbibing, if you will, in this physical, even if it's not the expression, the thought of expression, and then saying, ah, I'm catching myself. Now I need to spend this time and energy on where I want to go in life and where I want to move to in life and how I want to move to this next level. Does that make sense? Does that help?
Yes, that definitely makes a lot of sense. I thank you for taking the question, and I appreciate the response.
Great. Well,
my
thank
pleasure.
You for calling in. We appreciate it, Gerald. I want to ask you a question, and then I'm going to bring in Ann, because Ann definitely has learned this, and she inspires us always, and that's about related to the success and the age at which success is most prevalent. I'm going to ask you to just share that and then ask Ann if she would also then share about the Think and Grow Rich annual accountability meeting and her own experiences with the age at which success is most prevalent. So go ahead, Evan.
Okay, yeah, so age is interesting when it comes to this whole premise, because as younger people, we tend to really focus on the physical expression aspect and actually tend to overindulge. Part of just not understanding what is, you know, at stake and understanding that it's a step to riches, and also the fact of immaturity. But really the whole idea of sex transmutation really starts becoming more prevalent a little bit later in life, like in the 30 to 40 year old age range is when we're able to start transmutating at a higher level, which is not to say that you can't be doing that. And I have plenty of examples of how that's happened with me at younger ages. But as a general rule and for society in general, that's when that starts to come into play. And then again, also another reason why you hear a lot of these success stories happening for people later on in their lives.
Thank you. Ann, I know you got something to say about this. And then
well, I think the best way to, and the only way I really, and he did a phenomenal job. I think the only way that I can really add to what he shared is on page 200, which Napoleon Hill talks about why most people seldom succeed before 40. And I'll drop down to my favorite part where he talks about the fact that, you know, that the study disclosed, the study he did for a 12-year period of time, but basically the study disclosed that one major reason why, like you said, the majority of the people who succeed do not begin to do so before the age of 40 is our tendency. Now, I put myself, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'll put myself in this category, and it wasn't until reading this book, and I'm very thankful that I was reading this book during my 30s, this chapter, this principle, during my 30s and my 40s and my 50s and my 60s. So personally, I can relate to this, and because I had foreknowledge of the principle, it helped me to better understand my own tendencies and personal desires. And then he goes on to say that our tendency to dissipate our energies through the overindulgence in the physical expression of the emotion of sex. Now, I want to make sure that we're very clear about what he's talking about when he says physical expression, because if you go to page 202, it is the handshake, the tone of voice, the posture of the carriage, the vibration of thought, body adornment, and for many of us it's that dress in an exotic manner, and these colors and things, you know, that's an expression. And most of us never learn that the sexual urge has other possibilities which far transcend in importance than that of mere physical expression. So those are my thoughts. I really enjoyed Evan's dissecting and sharing of this principle, because it is so rich. We really could spend a year on it. But I do want to encourage all of our listeners to consider joining us at our International Mastermind Annual Meeting for Your Life. This is a Thinking Grow Rich Meeting for Your Life. And very simply, this annual meeting for your life is taking place in Boca Raton. We're going to actually be there on the 3rd and 4th of January. We start actually on the 3rd, which is a Friday evening, where we come together at the Embassy Suites in Boca Raton on Yamato Road. We come together in the evening and we do what we call like an open mic, where people just come and share their experiences with the masterminding process from the year. Then on Saturday, we have our Masterminding for Your Life, where we all sit at different round tables and we share our past experiences on what we said we were going to do, whether we did it or not, and what are our future goals. And all of this must be written. If you don't write it, you can't share it. And so this is an accountability meeting for our life, entire life. You can get the details from Eventbrite by just Googling or going to Eventbrite. And we do have the link on the show, but it's the Think and Grow Rich Annual Accountability Meeting. And this is held in Boca Raton on January 3rd and 4th, 2020. So that's it for me, Pekin, and back to you, please.
Thank you. And for everybody, we usually are off at 9 o'clock, but we had the opportunity to be a little bit longer. This topic of transmutation, sexual transmutation, is so powerful. And it, as you can see, you know, it's a topic that sometimes people feel like they're on hot coals. But, man, when you're talking about charisma and confidence and energy and passion and direction and focus, this is the chapter to be with. So I'm going to go back to my guest, Aha. We're going back to Evan. Now, you can all reach Evan and find out more about him by going to Evan, E-V-A-N, Piper.com. And I understand you have a new book out that I want you to tell the audience about. And how else can we reach out to you with social media?
Yeah, so as far as social media is concerned, you can find me on my website, which is evanpiper.com, EvanPiper.com. And you can, you know, see a little bit more about me, what I do, my programs, and also there's contact information there, as well as you can reach out to me on social media. I'm on LinkedIn under Evan Piper, and I am on Facebook under Evan Piper and also under Evan Piper Speaker. And and I'm also on Instagram under piper.evan. So you can find me on social media as well. My book, which I'm really excited about, is called The Money Mindset Book. And what I had done over the last year was I was thinking about some of the things that I've come into in my life that have made me successful, that have given me the opportunity to success, the things that I do, things that I've learned. And I've tried to take those items and put them into a very easy to read book. And that's what I've done with the Money Mindset book. I want to have something that when people come to me and say, Evan, I want to do something, I don't know where to start, I don't know what to do, that I could say, start with the book. You're going to get great ideas. If you get one little idea out of the book, then you've got great things that can happen. But that is a great place to start and a great conversation starter. So the book is really exciting. I've been getting really, really incredibly great feedback on the book. So I'm very excited about that.
Well, I'm so glad. Thank you for sharing that. And now, of course, I'll have in my mind the song, Money, 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 Money.
That's right.
So thank you so much for being with us. I want to go to my co-host, to Peter, Gablin, and Ann, and get your final ahas. Also, don't forget to please share with the audience how to get in touch with each one of you, because we are a magnetic force here, and we have been exuding our sexual energy and power and charisma and confidence throughout this program. So I want to make sure that people can reach out to you and reach out and touch and share and know who you are. So, Peter, give me your aha and share how to get in touch with you.
Yeah, thank you so much there, Peggy. Again, so excited to be sexually transmutating with everybody on the call today. How you can get in touch with me first and foremost is drjames@shiftyourmindset.com. I can be reached on any social media handle at Dr. Peter A. James. That's at DrPeterAJames, all together as well. Again, my biggest ahas are a little bit what Evan had mentioned there. I can't help but just remember some of how he's talking about transforming the mediocrity into genius through this transmutation of sex. So that was my biggest aha, and just excited for this guest and excited for his future as well. And let's hear from Galen and Ann.
Galen.
Hi there. This is Galen Bingham.
Oh, man, you are
had to
making
do it.
Me think that you are Barry, you know, Barry White singing to me with that voice. Come on now.
Yeah, I had to do it, So, great show, great topic. And I think the biggest aha that I got from this conversation is I really love the way Evan connected this topic to the objective of reaching genius level. And when I think about genius, it's really about being exceptional. It's an exceptional level of performance or of creativity, and it's much more the intellect. So that's one of the things that I've really, really honed in on. And this thing about controlling and harnessing, almost choosing where you're going to use your charisma, your sex appeal, your everything. It's about making choices. And that reminds me of an R&B song that I used to enjoy back in the mid-90s by a group called Solo. And the chorus of their song is, "Tell me where you want me to put it," right? Where do you want me to put, making a choice as to where I put my sexual energy rather than just being add effect to the stimuli around me and doing the easy way to express that. So I really appreciated the conversation. I appreciate the show. Again, my name is Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist. You can reach me at www.galenbingham.com. I encourage you to go to an event that we're going to be having in mid-November called The Genius Forum, where we're going to hear a lot of geniuses share ideas and give you an opportunity to kind of build on that for your own realm of influence. And you can get information about that event at www.thegeniusforum.com, or you can find us on Facebook at The Genius Forum as well. So that's it. Thank you. Great show.
Great. And?
I think that like minds go together, like they say. My aha really was similar to Peter's in, when Evan talked about the transformation from mediocrity to genius through this principle. It is so phenomenal. And then to go on and give examples of individuals who have done that. And so it was a great learning, Evan. You may want to post this, share this, tweet this, because this is a memorable, especially for those who are in the book. We talk about the book. When we really grow in maturity, and Bakim started us off talking about maturity, but I think that the more we grow, the more we know. And then the more we know, the more we grow. That's it for me. Great show, great guest. I can be reached at annmcneill.com. That's annmcneill.com. Thank you.
And just such, I have the best co-hosts and the best guests we have on this show. We are just so honored to have you, Evan. My name is Pegeen. You can reach me at PEGINE.com, and you could just post in Google, go Pegeen Power, and you will find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, all over there, and I'm here to serve. You can always reach us at info@pegeen.com, and you can get your free book about Lead and Think Big at PowerWoman, that's E-N, .global, and just fill in the form and get my book, Lead and Think Big, so that you can lead and think big. This is a great, great time for us to be able to say thank you to you, Evan. Thank you so much for giving me such wisdom. And I love and I'm grateful as I've aged to really know that sex transmutation begins to be learned at the age of 30 to 40. I'm a little bit older than that. But that just means I got more power because that energy's got to go somewhere and it might as well go into success. For all of you listening, please make sure that you can share this show. You could go down and you could click it, share it, tell people to join us on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. to hear the Think and Grow Rich Masterminders group. We are here for you, and we look forward to you following Evan, getting his book, The Money Mindset Book, following all of my cohorts in this program. And remember, buy the book, study the book, think and grow rich so that you can think and grow rich. Looking forward to seeing you next week when we have another exciting guest. And we're going to continue the discussion of sex transmutation.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.